Hello, everyone. This is Pastor John Ross here at the Bodenham Second Baptist Church, and I want to thank you for joining me today online here at Bodenham Second Baptist. We are doing the next best thing to all being together. Right now, I am in the sanctuary, and there's no people here except for Frank, who's in the back directing me. And so I want to thank you for joining us. And as it is with most, we are not having our public worship services today due to the outbreak of COVID-19, the COVID-19 pandemic, as you've been listening on the radio and watching on television, has spread throughout the entire globe, and it has come here to Maine as well. And so we believe in times like these, we need an anchor to hold on to. We need hope, and we need God's peace through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do for the next couple of Sundays, maybe more, is to give you a reason for the hope that is in us. As many of us are hunkered down and sheltered, and some are self-isolating, some people are trying to handle this the best they can. But I want you to know that there is hope, and as Christians, we don't need to be afraid, we don't need to fear, but we need to cling to God's promises in such times as these. So join me today, will you? We want to listen to some music, and I want to pray for you. There are needs within our congregation and in our community, and I want to share a message with you in a few moments entitled, How to Be in Control When Everything Seems to Be Out of Control. So let's start out this morning, this afternoon, or whenever you're listening, by listening to a song called You Are My Refuge. And it's taken from Psalm 46, verse 1. And it's a great promise. And certainly we need to hear this message in times like these.
I can call my own. Here in your embrace, where your mercy overflows. It's here that all my doubts and fears just melt away. I lay my burdens down and I look upon your face.
Hiding place.
are my refuge. And of course, that song is taken from many scripture selections throughout scripture. One of them is in Psalm 91. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. And of course, that's what we need now more than anything else in our world, is to be able to trust the Lord for these uncertain times. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, but we do know who holds tomorrow. And that's the great delight of being a Christian, is knowing that the future is secure with the child of God. So I want to encourage you today to take that to heart, and you know, just to allow God during this time strength to give you hope and to give you peace within. We are here today here at the Second Baptist Church to share together in worship and reflection. There's no one here right now, and you know, this whole issue of isolation is something that is a difficult thing for many people. And so I want to ask you today, how are you doing? How are you faring out? How's things going along in your home? Are you tired with the kids? Are you rather tired with the fact that maybe there's no noise around you? It seems that everything has come to a standstill. I want to encourage you to take advantage of this time. Get out and go for a walk. I think too much TV can be an issue. And so maybe you want to limit your television watching and cut back a little bit. Maybe you just want to spend time reading a book. Maybe some time to get to know the Lord a little better. And allow this time to be in His Word and to pray and to seek His face, and allow God to use it so that your strength, your hope, and your faith will grow in Him. And so that's my prayer. I do want to lift up a few folks today in prayer as well, some folks within our congregation. I want you to be in prayer for a few folks. Marion Bagley has become ill, and we're asking if you would pray for her today. She is a dear lady, a dear saint of God, and we want to lift her up before the Lord. And this morning she's not feeling very good. Debbie Haley is another person whom we miss and hasn't been at worship for a few Sundays, and right now she's in the home over in Bath, and she is recuperating. She had a bit of an issue with her ankle, her foot, and it just was not healing properly at all. And so we're hoping that this will be a time for her that will be all taken care of, and we will be rejoicing in hearing about answered prayer in Debbie's life. Pray for Teresa Graff and Greg as they go to Florida. They're on their way to Florida right now. They're driving down there. Of course, most air flights are not going ahead. Many have been canceled, and they're driving. So pray for safety for them. One other personal prayer request I have, and that concerns my daughter and her husband, Doug, and our three grandkids. They're living up in Presque Isle. And their mom and dad, Doug's mom and dad, live with them. And Bonnie, her name is Bonnie Drew, 10 years ago had a transplant, a liver transplant. And so she got a letter the other day from her doctor in Boston saying that she's not allowed out, that everybody that lives in the same household with her, they need to quarantine themselves. So this is going to be a tough job for three grandkids, and it's going to be a tough job for them just to hold it together during this time. So I'd ask you to lift them up in prayer before the Lord, if you would. Now, I know that this time is a great time for us to reflect, but it is also a great time to pray. Please lift up our federal officials before the Lord as well, and our president our governor, and pray that God would give them wisdom and direct them in the best course of action. Pray for even a cure of this COVID-19. And Scripture teaches us that we should number our days so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts. So pray that the Lord will give us wisdom in this moment. In this moment of fear, in this moment of pandemonium in the midst of a pandemic. And so that others would realize that how fragile this world is, and that we would also be a witness to them. So would you bow with me, please, as we pray together, and I invite you wherever you are. Maybe you're at home, maybe you're in your living room, maybe you're outside somewhere and you're listening to this service via your phone or whatever means you have. Just stop for a moment, would you please, and let's pray together and believe God in what he's going to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can come together in a time of great difficulty across our land, across the world. And we can bank on the promises of your word, that we can be sure that we have one foundation, and that foundation alone is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we pray today for this pandemic. We pray for your protection in our own personal lives. And we ask, Lord, that this would be over with soon. And we ask, Father, that you would work in our hearts that we might be ambassadors of hope and light to people around us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our president, for our governor. Again, we ask, Lord, that you would be with them. And you'd be with the doctors and the overwhelmed medical profession. And Father, just encourage them today, we pray. Give them your strength. Give them your hope. And we ask for our own folks, Lord, and many perhaps even listening who's a part of the Bodenham community. We ask that you would protect them. We ask, Lord, that you'd bless them. We ask, Lord, that during this time, they would look to you and find in you strength and hope and peace of mind. I pray for our sister today, Debbie Haley, and we lift her up before you, Father. And we pray that she might know your peace that passes all understanding. We pray that there would be a great healing in her body today. We lift up Marion Bagley, and Father, what a dear saint she is, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless her. Thank you for her. Thank you for her witness. Thank you, Lord, that you've promised to comfort her and strengthen her in due time. We lift up Teresa and Greg today as they travel. And yes, Lord, I pray for my daughter Jessica and her husband Doug and my grandchildren Maud and Ira and Beatrice. Lord, protect them and keep them safe. And I also, Lord, lift up my son Matthew and his wife Mallory as they are looking forward next Friday to a brand new arrival in the family. And Lord, we pray for a safe delivery and that everything would go well. Lord, there's all kinds of things and all kinds of people that we need to be praying for. Help us, Lord, that we would have prayerful hearts. And help us, Lord, to look to you and to be strengthened by the hope of Jesus Christ, that Christ is in us the hope of glory. And we thank you and we praise you for all you're going to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we come have another song for you here this afternoon and today here at Second Baptist called The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
darkness veils His lovely face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Yes, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found. Dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All other ground is sinking sand. And truly, in a world where we have so many insecurities, it's so good to know today that Jesus Christ is our solid rock. And in Him we stand, we live and move and have our being. Hello again, everybody. I'm Pastor Ross, and I want to share a message with you today entitled, How to Be in Control When Everything is Out of Control. Have you ever felt that everything is out of control? Everything has just gone to pieces? That the train has gone off the track, maybe literally and certainly in your own life. I think we've all been there. And today we know that because of COVID-19, that's the way it appears in our world. That this world has gone crazy. It's gone wacky. That it seems as though, everybody is in a state of panic. And everybody has gone crazy. We see it even in how everybody just ran this past week to try to collect as much toilet paper as they could. In fact, my wife was out with her sister the other day at Walmart and didn't realize it, but less than a half a mile away, the police were called to break up a fight in the store. Because people were fighting over certain things. That was in our area. That was just down the road from us. Our country is on the edge of regarding the stock market. I know my pension plan sure suffered this week, and yours did too, probably, if you have one. Politics and the COVID-19 virus seems to be just everywhere. It's on people's minds. One of my favorite comedians was the Canadian John Candy back in the 80s. And it was during a difficult time when the interest rates were sky high, up around 18% for a mortgage. And all of a sudden, John Candy comes out and says, "Sorry, folks, the world is closed. It's closed right now." Well, it just seems as though we are in that state right now. As believers, the last thing we should do is panic. And the first thing we should do is pray. And I want to share a verse of scripture with you that has become rather meaningful to me the last few days. And it's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says this: "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Be anxious for nothing. Now, how in the world do you do that in such a time as this? Well, we know that we can't do it on our own. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed an estimated 50 million people. That was 100 years ago, not very long. And when you think about the record of human history, you know, it's certainly something that was not that long ago. But there have been some very scary times even in my lifetime. 9/11 being one of them, of course. We all remember 9/11. There was an outbreak of the same flu virus in 2009 that's related to the COVID-19 that killed, listen to this, an estimated 200,000 people. How many of you remember Y2K in the year 2000? All the computers were going to crash and take over the world. How many remember H1N1 virus? The swine flu, the Asian flu, the bird flu, even Ebola. Most of us like to be in control. I don't know about you, but I like to be in control. And at times I've been accused of being a control freak. We don't want to panic, but often it seems like things get out of control, don't they? So, what are some of the things that we need to deal with? I want to just share a couple of things, three things with you this morning. I don't want us to think, first of all, of the things that are out of our control. There are some things we don't have any control over at all. From time to time, we find ourselves in the middle of a crisis such as the one as our world is going through right now. And at least we think it's a crisis. Whatever it is that happens, we need to remember that most of the time we don't have any control over it. Our country is out of our control right now. Hey folks, it's not China's fault that people all over the world have contacted the coronavirus. And even if it was their fault, what can we do about it? Nothing. By the way, contrary to the left's view, the coronavirus is not President Trump's fault. It's not the House, it's not the Senate's fault, it's not Nancy Pelosi's fault. It's nobody's fault, it's just one of those things that happen. So our country seems to be out of control right now, and we don't have much control over it. Our citizens seem to be out of control. We can't control what the citizens do in our neighborhood. I think of the many young people right now on spring break that are down in Florida on the beaches, and they're being warned to not do that. That's not good. And so that's something that we can't control. I think people should be held responsible for their actions and their attitudes. But the truth is, we cannot control them. We can't control our critics either. If there's anyone who knows anything about criticism, its parents, its politicians, and its pastors, and not necessarily in that order. People are so quick to criticize everything we do, every decision we make, every direction we go. Well, another thing that's not out of our control is our circumstances. You may be facing a circumstance in your life right now that you may not have any control over. It may be a health issue. It may be a relationship issue. It may be an entire host of different things. Have you ever asked anyone how they're doing and they respond, "Well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances"? I hear that all the time. I always want to say, "Well, what are you doing under there?" Hey, there are things simply out of our control. You can't control the weather. I remember hearing Vance Havner once say this. He said, "Whether the weather is cold or whether the weather is hot, whether the weather is good or whether the weather is not, whatever the weather will weather the weather, whether we like it or not." I think that's pretty good advice. You can't control your circumstances in many, many different arenas. Sometimes you can't control it at work. There are many this week that have been laid off simply because there's no work. The economy seems to be just going down the tube. And we don't have any control over that right now. Then there are things that we can control. We can control. I want to remind you of those things today. We cannot control, of course, the coronavirus, but we can control our response to it. We can control our attitude. We can control our actions. And we can control whether this is spread or not and do our own part. That's one thing you and I can control. All too often we get distracted by the things we can't control, that we lose focus on the things we can control. The external conditions of the world keep us from being consistent in our walk with the Lord and our prayer life and our study of God's Word especially. We can control our thoughts. The Bible says that. Proverbs 23, verse 7. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." How many of you, like you and me, are guilty of what I call stinking thinking? How many of you are like me and sometimes get a bad attitude? Well, I do, and you probably do as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought and into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We can't get to thinking that we're smarter and classier and sharper than any other of the people we're around, but let me remind you what God's Word says. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, listen to these words. "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We can control our temper. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." And we are in those perilous times, I should mention. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers." Look at the list here. "Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty." Listen, "lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having the form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away." But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 looks at it another way. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Listen to that. Sounds good to me, doesn't it, to you? Against such there is no law, he says. And those who were in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, that's the mindset where every believer in Jesus Christ ought to be right now. We can also control our tongues. I've heard some sharp words being spoken in the last few days. Often the combination of our thoughts and our tempers can lead to our tongues to say things we shouldn't say. How many of you have ever, like me, have put their foot in their mouths? Well, I remember a few years ago, back maybe 25 years ago now, I was with a group of several pastors. And you know how a lot of preachers like to talk and laugh, and it seems as though when preachers get together, it's just a different kind of a crowd. Well, you know, that's what we were doing on this ride. I think we were driving from Caribou, where I served, to Bangor. And I spoke up and said to the guy next to me, "Hey, have you seen Brother Jones lately?" That's not his real name. But to protect the innocent, that's what I'll use. And I said, "He's got himself some new hair. At least it'll be his in 3 or 4 months, payments." Well, I started laughing, then I realized the pastor I said that to was also wearing a toupee. I felt like such an idiot. I really did. And someone said, "It's better to be silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt." Well, several people are attributed to have made that statement, including Mark Twain. And I believe even Abraham Lincoln said that. But we do need to control our tongues. And we do need to be responsive and responsible in the words we speak to others, especially during this COVID-19 breakout. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, "Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." But we also can control the turmoil that we're in. In Job chapter 20, verse 2, nobody was through any more turmoil and any more suffering and any more persecution than Job. And he says, "Therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil that's within me." And in Job 30, verse 27, it says, "My heart is in turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me." And in Psalm 38, verse 8, it says, "I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart." So that's another thing we can control. We can control the amount of turmoil that we face. Maybe you're in that turmoil right now. We also can control the idea of terror. Terror, that's a very strong word. It's a very scary word. In Psalm 27, verse 3, it says, "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." And then in Psalm 56, verse 4, "In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. For what can flesh do to me?" Think of that. And in Psalm 118, verse 6, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" We can also control our time. And I know many of us have probably a little more spare time than what we're used to. And some of us are going around the house and thinking, "Well, what can I do? Where can I go?" We can't go very far because many of us are kind of told we better stay home. But the scripture says many things. in Ephesians 5, verse 6, it says, we're redeeming the time because the days are evil. These days are evil. We need to make the most of our time. We can go out and walk, enjoy the outdoors. We can read God's Word. We can spend time in prayer. Do all those things. Romans 13:11 says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Our salvation is much closer. It's much closer than ever before. In Matthew 6, verse 21, it says we can also control our treasure, our funds, our monies. Maybe this is a good opportunity for me to say, you know, we need to remember the needs of the local church. We need to remember the needs of Second Baptist Church. And, you know, we need to support it financially during these times, that we can send our check in the mail. It'll get here. Don't worry. Frank usually gets it right on every second day. But we need to remember that we need to support the ministry of our church. There are missionaries out there right now that we need to remember to pray for as well. And we need to give to the local church so that we can support missionaries who are right in the thick of things. And I think of several right now who are much involved in this corona virus. So there are things we can control. But let me wind up here by telling you there are things only God can control. There are things that we just have to give over to Him. And this coronavirus, we need to give it over to Him. We need to leave it all with Jesus. There are many things we must leave in God's hand. There are things every day that I have to leave in God's hands because I have no control over it. In Proverbs 21, verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. The fact is that our God is sovereign. And I believe that He's sovereign in the midst of this great pandemic. I believe that He's in control of everything. And as believers, we need to believe that, because without trusting in Him, that He is in control right now, we are doomed. We're done for. And so, let me encourage you to think of a couple of things. Three things as I end up. Remember that trouble is part of this sin-cursed world. You know, I hear people every once in a while, and especially if they're kidding and teasing another person, they ask the question, well, how's trouble today? How's trouble? Well, remember that trouble is part of this world. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, has overcome the world. Our biggest problem is sin. It's been cured. You know, I believe God's able to cure the COVID-19 virus. But more importantly, more important than anything else, He has cured the curse of sin. You see, the COVID-19 virus is kind of like the fact that sin has invaded this world. Sin has infected this world. But Jesus Christ is the one who has come to heal. He is the one, if we put our trust in Him, He's able to heal and restore. God can help us to be His hands, to be His feet in these days of trouble. We can help people. We can be encouragement. We can be light and salt in this world. And then, secondly, we need to regard the truth and not the media hype. The world is not ending because of this virus. So let's get that straight. It is indeed a serious condition, especially for those of us who are older, and hopefully we can get it under control and we'll forget about it in time. few months down the road, a couple of years down the road, we'll forget about it. The third thing we need to do is repent of what I call trepidation. If you've been panicky over these things, let me remind you of this text that we just read a moment ago. Be anxious for nothing. Did you know that's a command? Be anxious for nothing. There's no need of getting all in an uproar. There's no need of getting upset. We can be anxious for nothing. Whatever it is, dread or distress or disease, all of these things will come. Even death may come. But we need to repent of our mindset that there's nothing ahead but doom and gloom. We need to remember that Jesus Christ is in control, that he's still in control. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He will take care of us like he said he would. As a teenager, when I first started going to church, I was probably 16 or 17. I remember hearing this little chorus. And maybe you remember it as well. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of his love divine, every promise in the book is mine. And I'll leave you with one verse, one more verse of scripture. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, listen to this, because this is what's going to carry me through, and I hope it'll carry you through as well. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank. God has said that in times such as this, he will never, ever leave you. He says, I will be with you till the end. So let me encourage you, if you are listening today, I know it's a strange way to worship God, just turn on the computer, but I thank you for that today. But let me encourage you, if you are listening today, take this message and share it with others if you would. Encourage them to listen. And if you haven't done so, I encourage you to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because he's the one that will carry you through. He's the one that will help you in time of need. Repent and turn to him today. Believe that Jesus Christ took your place. If you were the only person on the face of this earth, God loves you so much that he gave himself for you. He died on the cross to save you from your sin. And then he rose from the dead. And someday he's coming back to receive those who believe and those who trust him. And he did it for you. Did it for me. So we don't know what's going to happen in the next few days or in the next few weeks regarding this COVID-19. I might be here preaching to an empty sanctuary for the next few weeks. I don't know. But I do know this. That our God will carry us through. And we need to put our faith and our trust in him. So will you do that today? Turn the TV off if you have to. Put your time in his word. Be encouraged, believing and trusting him. Because he's promised that he will be there for us. So, how to be in control when everything is out of control? We're in control when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control today. We look to this world and we see, Lord, there's no hope for this world. But there is hope in you, because you are our hope. You are our anchor. In him, Lord, we live and move and have our being. And so be with us in the days ahead, these uncertain days that are ahead of us. And help us, Lord, to weather the storm, whatever it might be, and be prepared, Lord, to meet you someday. We want to stand in your presence. We want to see Jesus face to face. And we want to know him and make him known. And so we thank you, Lord, today for the promises of your word, for the fellowship of your people, and for the hope that we have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.